Morning, everyone. Ooh, when we do this in kids ministry, we say, good morning, everyone. And then they say, good morning, Bailey. Let's see if you can do it. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. It's so nice to see all of you here this morning. I'm so excited to share with you the things that I've been learning. Whether you're here in the room, thank you for being here with us, or you're online, or maybe you're even watching this or listening to this after the fact. I'm so glad that you are here. Now, you guys already know, my name is Bailey, and I'm one of the pastors here at Circle. And for the past few years that I've been working here, I've actually been one of the kids ministry directors, and I've been involved with Kids Capers as well. So kids in the room, how many of you have been to Circle Kids or Kids Capers before? Oh, I see the kids in the room. I see you guys. That's awesome. I'm so glad that you guys are here. And I know that Cindy prepped a little bulletin for you guys that you can work on during the service, or you can even fill out the notes for my message if you want to do that. But I have a few parts of my story today that I want your help with. Do you guys think you can help me with it? Kids in the room, I can't hear you. Do you think you can help me out today?
Yeah.
There they are. Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, well, keep an ear out. I'll ask you guys some questions that you can help me with. Now, as the director of youth ministry here at Circle, most of my job involves serving with our grade 6 to 12 students and with our incredible Circle Youth Leader teams. And I have the privilege of working with them and helping our students and our leaders to grow in leadership, equipping them to serve, and helping us all to grow in our faith together. Now, as another part of my role, I have been working through the ordination process over the past 3 years. It involves a lot of studying, a lot of reading books, writing papers, and thinking really deeply about theology, which is the study of God. And it's been a lot of reflecting and understanding my beliefs about who God is and how we grow in our faith. Now, I'll be interviewing for that role in October, so if you could be praying for me as I study and prepare for that moment, that would be absolutely wonderful. Now, throughout this ordination journey, I've gone deeper in my faith than ever before, and I've developed a greater understanding and a deeper love for Jesus, what it means to follow him, and how following God's call for my life has changed my life for the better. It's been about more than just gaining head knowledge or something to believe. It's been all about how what I'm learning about Jesus moves from my head to my heart and becomes second nature, something as easy as breathing. It's been about allowing Jesus and his love to permeate my soul and impact everything that I do as I follow him and learn to be more like him. Now, through this summer, we have been going through a series with our transition pastor, Bob, about how we can bless our neighbors and discover our mission as followers of Jesus. So if you haven't been here for every Sunday in the summer, that's okay. I like to go camping too. It's all good. But please, you should go and listen to that series because I found it so impactful and practical for understanding what our calling is as followers of Jesus. And so as I was listening to this series and thinking through and praying about what I wanted to share with you, I knew that I wanted to focus in on how we all have this mission and calling. We all have the honor of partnering with God in his rescue of the world. Now we're going to be sitting in one main passage today and pulling out a few things to look at together. So if you have your Bible with you, whether it's a physical Bible or a Bible online, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 4 with me. That's where we're going to be sitting in today. And you can listen or read along as I read it to you. Now, there's a lot of power in reading God's Word, especially in larger sections. So I'm going to read the whole of chapter 4. But before we do that, I want to pray and ask God to open our eyes to learn together as we read. I took these prayers from the Bible Recap reading plan, so let's pray together. God, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, let any knowledge I gain serve to help me love you and others more and not puff me up. God, help me see something new about you I've never seen before. God, correct any lies I believe about you or anything I misunderstand. God, direct my steps according to your word. And all the people said, Amen. Okay, so now you can follow along with me as I read 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since God, in his mercy, has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist said when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. But I think there's a lot of value in reading the whole chapter because it paints a really beautiful picture for us. You know, I could spend a whole sermon series just on that one chapter. And just as a bit of a side note, the most amazing thing about the Bible that I've been learning the more that I study it, sometimes I call it God's big story, is that even though there's so many books in the Bible, so many authors, God's Holy Spirit was guiding all of the writers so it all connects to itself and repeats similar themes throughout the whole thing, and it's absolutely incredible. But for today, there's just a few key things that I want to focus on, and it's all centered around light. Everyone say light. Today we're talking about light and how God has designed us to shine his light in the world. So let's take a look at verse 6 to start. God said, "Let there be light in the darkness," and he made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God. This verse references back to the creation of the world, where God created light. The same God who created the universe has made this light shine in our hearts when we notice somebody very important, somebody special, someone who God sent as a part of his rescue plan. Kids, this is your part. Who is God's son, the person that rescues us and loves us so much that he died for us? You can shout it out.
Jesus!
Wow, that was awesome. It's Jesus. When we look at Jesus, what he's done for us, we see the glory of God. God's glory is perfectly displayed in Jesus. And the gospel, or the good news, is the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And this is what shines in our hearts. So in your notes, the first one, God's light is Jesus, and he shines in us. God's light is Jesus, and he shines in us. John's gospel introduces Jesus as the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone. When he was coming into the world as a tiny little baby, kids, what time of year do we celebrate Jesus being born as a baby? Christmas, I heard it out there, Christmas. Jesus is the light of the world. Now let's keep going. Verse 7, it says, "We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." And this makes it clear this great power is from God, not from us. Paul, the one who's writing this to the early church, he makes it clear that the focus is not on us. It's on Jesus and what he's done. Jesus is Lord, and we are servants who are listening to him. I love this idea of clay jars. And I've heard this message shared before, so this verse is special to me. Clay jars are simple, they're plain, and they're meant to hold something. We're designed to hold God's light inside of us for others to see. Every person who decides to follow Jesus has the gift of the Holy Spirit within them. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I forget how incredible that is. God, the King of the universe, the one who knows us so personally, who knows everything that we'll ever do, who loves us so deeply, the one who made you and loves you and knows you, his Holy Spirit lives in you and with you to help you know what to do, to encourage you, to love you, and to lead you. That is a treasure. That's a treasure. Now, the other thing about clay jars is that they're also fragile, which means that in life, we might get a little bit cracked sometimes. As clay jars, we're gonna have little imperfections and spots where we're broken. Someone introduced this passage to me in college, and I remember the way they spoke about how the special thing about God is how he can make something beautiful out of something flawed. When we have the treasure of God's light within us, the light shines through the cracks. So when your clay jar gets cracked by the sin in the world, by others who hurt you, God's light still shines through. His light shines through our brokenness, and in our weakness and fragility, we see God's strength. How many of you in the room, here's a personal question, how many of you are or have been afraid of the dark in your life? Yeah, look around, there's lots of people who have been afraid of the dark. Even now, it's easy to be afraid of the dark. It's like there's something in us that knows that the darkness is not how we're meant to live, how we're designed. But darkness is a reality that we need to face because there's still darkness and sin in the world. But thankfully, we know somebody who is light. Kids, who is light?
Jesus!
Jesus. Exactly. See, I knew you were listening. Jesus. Now, in your notes, the next one, the light, Jesus, drives out darkness. Jesus drives out darkness. And there's so many parts of the Bible that speak about how Jesus drives out darkness. Isaiah 9:2, 700 years before Jesus even came on the scene, he predicted, saying, he prophesied, saying, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. John 8:12, Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you're all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. Ephesians 5, for once you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. A bit of homework for you if you want. Go and take a look at Ephesians 5 because it all talks about how we are children of light. But in this passage, the context is important. Paul is writing this to the early church. He's writing to encourage them and support them. And he himself has suffered many things for the sake of Jesus. He's had terrible things happen in his life. He was beaten, shipwrecked, mocked. But he himself, with absolute confidence, as he's writing this, he tells his fellow brothers and sisters that they have hope in Jesus because he has overcome the darkness. Remember verses 8 to 10 in our passage, we're not crushed, we're not driven to despair, we're never abandoned by God. We have hope and eternal life and relationship with God because of Jesus, the one who drives out and defeats the darkness. In your notes, the next one, the light grows brighter when we grow closer to him. The light grows brighter when we grow closer to him. Here's another question for you. How many of you have been camping this summer? How many of you love camping? I love camping. It's one of my favorite things about Saskatchewan summers is going to the lake. I love being the one to set up all the logs in a campfire, get it all organized and ready to go, and then to start the fire and to enjoy it being warm. And then, what I also love, my friends call me the fire marshal sometimes, what my friends have noticed about me is that I like to be the one to add the next log to the fire or to like stir it up a little bit if the fire's dying. I like to stoke the fire. And the light of Christ in us is kind of like a campfire. When we tend to it, when we take care of it, when we give it fuel, it'll grow brighter. There's a song that they sang at Kids Capers this year, and we've sung it in Circle Kids many times before. It's called This Little Light. And there's a line in the song that I love. It goes like this. It all began with a spark. The spark caught fire in my heart. And I could see you lighting up the dark. And now it's burning brighter than ever. And then there's actually rap in this song. I'm not going to rap it for you. But it goes like this. It says, this little light of mine, maybe it used to be little, but now it's a wildfire that's growing bigger and bigger and bigger. I love this idea of our faith, our relationship with Jesus being like a fire that we have to tend to. If we want people to see more of Jesus in us, we need to know more of Jesus. We need to be with Jesus. We need to spend time with him. It's like any friendship, any relationship. It's not just understanding who Jesus is in our head. It's about knowing Jesus in our heart, personally, hearing from him, being encouraged by him. As I was preparing this message, I thought of Moses in the Bible. When he had a relationship with God, he would go up to the mountain and he would spend time listening to God. And when he would come down from the mountain, his face was literally shining because he had been close with God. I love that image. Can people tell when you've been with Jesus? Can people see the evidence of your relationship with him in your everyday life? The next one, it's the light that attracts, not the vessel. It's the light that attracts, not the vessel. The light of God is in you. The light of God is in you. That is the treasure. God's Holy Spirit in you. I'm so glad that we sang that song this morning, Yet Not I, because all of the words in that song are speaking about how it's about him and not about us. Part of my job as a leader in the church, I often think that part of my job is to bear the responsibility of the spiritual growth of other people. Me only. Only me. It's my job to persuade or convince somebody about Jesus. We take on the responsibility for the spiritual growth of others, but that's not really the root of our role, of my role. Remember the clay jars? We're fragile. We're imperfect. We make mistakes. We wrestle with sin. We make unwise choices, and we sometimes hurt other people. And I'm so thankful that the spiritual growth of others is not only up to me, a flawed and imperfect person. What a gift, a treasure, that God himself, who is perfect and is holy, gives us his Spirit to live in us and help us share his light with others. We all know that evangelism is important, sharing our faith is important, but it's also intimidating. You know, I'll admit, even as a pastor, a leader in the church, sometimes I struggle to share my faith with the people around me. But when I remember that God is the one drawing people closer to himself, and I just get to partner with him in what he's already doing, then the pressure's off. When it's not up to me whether someone decides to follow Jesus, the risk is gone. That's God's job. And the best that I can do is to allow his light to shine through me as best as I'm able. And then people will see him in me and grow closer to him. They should see the evidence of Jesus in my life through my actions much more than through my words. You know, the Pharisees, their words said that they loved God, but they rejected Jesus, and they didn't allow the truth of who he is to transform their lives. John the Baptist knew what it meant to shine a light so well. His whole calling and his purpose was to be a giant signpost pointing people towards Jesus. When he was baptizing people, some of his followers came up and they said, "Hey, John, everybody's going to this Jesus guy instead of you. How do you feel about that?" And John said, "You've heard me say, I'm not the Messiah, the Savior, but I'm sent ahead of him." It's like he describes this picture, the bride, which is the church, belongs to the bridegroom, which is Jesus. The friend who's excited about this wedding, they're so excited when the bridegroom arrives. That joy is mine. That's what it's like for me right now. I'm so excited because he's here. And then he says this, don't miss this. He must become greater, I must become less. He must become greater, I must become less. Our verse from 2 Corinthians says, this extraordinary power is from God and not from us. Remember what it said at the beginning of the chapter. If people don't understand the message about the light, there might be something blocking them. It's not about us. It's not our responsibility. What is our responsibility is to share the light, to shine the light, and to tell the truth about who Jesus is. Think about the way Jesus himself did it. He allowed people to come to him. He let the truth of who he is speak for itself. He asked people questions, and he gently challenged the ways that they thought about the world. He was never forceful, but he allowed the truth of God's love to be displayed in the ultimate act of sacrifice and love, his death on the cross. Now, all of this thinking about light really started making me think of a song, a very famous song. Kids, do you know the song that I'm thinking of? Nope. That's okay, I'll tell you. The song that I'm thinking of is This Little Light of Mine. It's a very old song. Many of you here probably know it. So kids, this is the part where I need your help. I need you to help sing it together. And anybody else that knows the song, you're welcome to join along, okay? I'll start us off and then you join in. We're just gonna sing the first little part. Here's how it goes. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Thanks for singing with me. It's a simple song, but the lyrics are more profound than I first thought. And so let's take a look together. In your notes, the first one in the verses, it says, Jesus gave it to me. I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me. Do you remember when you first said yes to following Jesus? What was it like? Were you excited? Were you on fire for God, passionate? Can be really easy to forget what it was like when we first grasped how amazing it is what Jesus has done. Something I've learned recently is that there's a lot of power in awe. A-W-E, awe. Everyone say awe.
Awe.
There's a lot of power in awe when we go, wow, that's amazing. Try to remember what it was like when you were first in awe of what God has done for you. It's an incredible treasure to remember. It's one of my favorite parts about listening to kids or students or adults that are new to faith share about what they're learning because they're so excited about all that God is doing for them. They're so open to share with anybody that wants to listen about who God is in their life. It's inspiring and it's encouraging, and it's why people sharing their testimony or their story during baptisms are so powerful, because God's light shines so clearly in those stories. I'm so excited for the baptisms coming up on Kickoff Sunday next week. I've been meeting with a student, and she is just so excited to get baptized and to share her story with you all, so make sure that you come on Kickoff Sunday to hear those stories. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made that decision before and you want the light of Jesus in your life. You can come talk with me or with the prayer team or someone from this church that you trust after the service, and we would love to speak with you and hear your story. God's light is an incredible treasure that's available to anyone who says yes to following Jesus. The next verse says, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Now, working in this role, I have many hats that I have to put on. Teacher, musician, counselor, event planner, communicator, scheduler, cleaner, organizer, light and sound technician, budget manager, graphic designer, and so much more. And every person has multiple hats that they wear. Parent, sibling, spouse, coworker, student, child, friend. Are you letting your light shine when you wear each hat? Or do only some of your hats have the light of Christ? Sometimes I need to remind myself that I want to shine my light through my job, and in my personal life with my friendships and people that don't know Jesus. It can be easy to keep our faith and our friends or our work separate, but God doesn't want to shine his light from only a part of you. He wants to shine his light through all of you. Everywhere you go means everything you do should be shining God's light through your words, but more importantly, through your actions. Shining God's light at school, with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors. Are you shining your light everywhere you go? Or only in places that you know people will accept it? Are you shining your light even when it's a little uncomfortable or awkward? As I was preparing this, Bob shared a quote with me. He said he's heard it somewhere that you might be the only Bible some people ever read. Are you a good representation of Jesus? Are you demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, and self-control. Do you take his light everywhere you go, especially in the places that are dark? The next verse, it says, hide it under a bushel.
No.
I heard it. Let's all try that together. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
No. Don't hide your light. What are the ways that we hide our light? We feel prompted to say something to somebody, but we don't. We think of somebody and we want to send them a message or a card, but we get too busy. We find a reason other than the truth to explain to others why we're busy on a Sunday or on a volunteer night. We hide our light by keeping this treasure to ourselves. When I share with strangers what my job is, you know, sometimes I get a little bit sheepish. I wonder, how will they react to knowing that I work at a church? Is it going to change the way that they see me? Sometimes we feel as though sharing our faith with others is going to scare them away or make them feel differently about us. And although that might be true if they've experienced church hurt or have a negative view of what followers of Jesus are like, wouldn't you want to be part of the solution? If you have the treasure of God's Holy Spirit within you to help you make wise decisions, to give you words to say, and to share the truth plainly and with gentleness and compassion, how do you think someone's going to respond to that? If you share your light with a genuine heart and ask God to help you, if people are turned off by you or disrespect you in return, that says more about them than it says about you. We shouldn't feel like we need to hide the treasure of our hope and joy in the Lord from others. When you have a treasure and you're excited about something, it should leak out into everything that we do. So what are the ways that you hide your light? What are some of the reasons that you hide your light? Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. The next verse, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. The reality is that in our world, we experience darkness. We have an enemy, a prince of darkness, who wants people to remain in the dark. He'll do everything he can to discourage, distract, to cause confusion, and to lie to followers of Jesus if it means that they'll dim their light or have it get blown out. Our world still has darkness in it and sin within it. People hurt each other. We experience sickness, disaster, and trouble, but in this passage, it tells us that we have an incredible hope. We're struck down but not destroyed because of Jesus. So we need to resist the lies that tell us that this treasure isn't worth sharing. Someone doesn't want to hear my story. That's not worth sharing. Shining your light in the midst of your suffering, your challenges, your difficulties, it's much more powerful than you know. someone very close to me, my Uncle Rodney, this month passed away 3 years ago. And he's an example to me of somebody that is such a bright light for Jesus. Despite his pain and his suffering, during his short battle with cancer, he glorified God with his whole life, and he celebrated and praised him to the very end. He's an example to me of how to share God's light with my neighbors, my family, with people that are interested in my hobbies. He loved mountain biking, and he often was part of mountain biking clubs, and he shined his light there. I was surprised at his funeral by how many people were there. You could tell that the people who were there, they were there to celebrate his life and to grieve together. But all those people there, I know for a fact that they saw God's light through him. It leaked out into everything that he did. They knew that he had a treasure, and they were drawn closer to him, and I believe closer to God as a result. That's why this verse in 2 Corinthians 4 is so special to me as well. We don't despair, even if our physical body's wearing away, because we're being renewed day by day. Lastly, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light, and I'm gonna let him shine. God designed us to let Jesus shine through us. We're not alone. And when you follow Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit alive within you. We don't need to be afraid of the dark or nervous about sharing the light, because if we have the light of Jesus in us, it's up to him. He's God and we're not. He's working in the lives and the hearts of everyone around us, and our job is to continue to let his light and his love pour out of our fragile clay jars. So my challenge to you as we leave this morning is, who are you going to share your light with? Who will you invite to church? Invite them into experiencing the light of Jesus for themselves. We underestimate the power of a simple invitation. It doesn't need to be complicated. It can be as simple as, hey, come with me. Someone told you about Jesus. So now that you've found this treasure, who will you invite? Our vision is to love like Jesus. And I think one of the best ways that we can love like Jesus is by letting him shine through us. When we have Christ's light in us, it should fill us to the point of bursting. We just have to share with others about how God is working in our life, how much joy he brings, how he comforts us, how his love makes us want to share love to others. I want to leave you with this version from the Message. It's Matthew 5:16. It goes like this. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm gonna hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. And by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. When we experience and know God's love so deeply, it leaks out and others can see it shining in our lives. Shining could be having supernatural joy despite difficult circumstances or suffering. Shining could be extending grace and mercy to those who hurt you, praying for them and forgiving them instead of holding on to bitterness and pursuing revenge. Shining could be inviting your friend to come with you to church, whether that's Kickoff Sunday to hear the stories of how God is shining in their life, to Alpha to learn more about Jesus, or volunteering with you, even if they don't believe in Jesus. Shining for Jesus means that when people see your life, they wonder what makes them different. I want what they have. What, or we know, who is transforming their heart and their life. How can I have that light in mine? And then we have to tell them about the treasure that we found. Would you pray with me this morning? God, as we prepare for another new beginning of a school year, getting ready for the fall, I pray that you would help us to remember to shine our light. To shine our light with all of our hats. Shine our light when it's busy. Shine our light when it's quiet. To shine our light everywhere we go. I thank you that you have given us this treasure. I thank you that you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we head into this next year, we as a church community would shine your light brighter in our city, in our families, in our schools, in our work. God, let your light shine through us. We thank you for your love, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.